But one thing I really love about the Bible is that it is perfectly honest and truthful about life. It does not gloss over the story of human life. Rather, it shows that we're all touched by sin and suffering. Suffering is a part of life in this sin-cursed world. Pain, suffering, sorrow, sickness, and grief are unavoidable in this world. And this COVID-19 virus has brought that reality to our attention on a worldwide level. But I'm so thankful to God that He has given us a way to find hope in the sorrows and sufferings of life. C.S. Lewis, he famously said, "God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is His megaphone to rouse a deaf world." And so as we think about the sufferings that we've gone through worldwide, God is shouting in our pain. He's trying to speak to us in our pain. And every single one of us, we are either suffering now or we know someone who is suffering. Cancer, sickness, death, financial loss, job loss, heartache in families, and we could go on and on. But in all of these dark valleys that we go through in life, God has given us a proven pathway to find hope through Him, through prayers of lament. This morning we looked at our scripture reading in Lamentations chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at the book of Lamentations this morning. But I want to first address this question, because what is lament? Because I'm sure a lot of you are probably thinking, what is a prayer of lament? I've never heard of that kind of prayer before. Well, I want to say honestly that though I had read about prayers of lament in the Bible throughout my ministry, I'd never really had prayed a prayer of lament until this past year when we suffered great loss in our family. And I want you to think about this fact. Over one-third of the Psalms are prayers of lament, or lament Psalms. I want you to think about that for just a moment. That one-third of the worship songs of God's people in the Old Testament, they wrestled with the topic of pain and suffering. Sometimes they were community laments, when the whole community or the whole nation would gather together and lament in prayer and song. Other times there are individual laments, like David would write a psalm lamenting over something that he was going through in his personal life. And then there were penitential laments. These are laments that deal with sin and suffering as a result of sin. Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 are examples of lament psalms, as well as the book of Lamentations that we're going to be looking at in just a moment. There is also imprecatory laments, which are basically a lament, lamenting a desire for justice to be done, especially toward one's enemies. But as you think about it, there's an entire book in the Bible called Lamentations, as we read in our scripture reading this morning. And I found that the word, or the verb lament, in all of its various usages, it is used over 61 times in the Bible. So it's something that's taught in the Bible. But why is it that we as churches and as God's people, why is it that we do not lament today in prayer? You know, lament prayers are in the Bible for a reason. And here's what I fear. As we're going through a very difficult time in our nation and even worldwide, we're facing a crisis, a pandemic that's going all over our world. And here's what I fear. I fear that we're going to let this time pass in history without lamenting. You know, I lament over the fact that many of God's people are not lamenting over their sins. You know, 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14, we looked at that verse last week where he said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know, as I was meditating on this morning, I was lamenting the fact that so many of us, including myself, we have not humbled ourselves before God. In pride, we think that we are okay. We're going to get through this struggle. We're going to make it. And I'm not trying to be negative or doom and gloom, but I'm just saying that God has allowed these things to come into our lives to humble us. We should humble ourselves before God. We should pray. We should be seeking God's face. We should be turning from our wicked ways. And that's what God is calling us to do, I believe. And as we look at this lament, or the book of Lamentations this morning, I just want to say that, you know, we need to really think about or learn how to lament, because lament is a healing grace for our souls. Lament is something that God has given us to deal with our suffering and our pain and our grief, even our sin. And as we go through suffering as the consequences of our sin. And God has given us lament as a way to go from that suffering to hope in Him and to trust in Him. And we can be so busy trying to avoid the pain, trying to avoid the suffering. We can just put that noise-canceling headphones over our heart instead of facing our suffering and our trauma. And in reality, we really can't avoid it. But I want to answer this question, what is lament? Before we look at Lamentations, what is lament? I want to give some definitions that I've found. And Online Dictionary says that it's a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. Mark Brokop, he said, lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. Another writer said, lament is vocalizing your grief to God. I like this one. This is one of my favorites. It says, lament is the honest cry of a hurting heart wrestling with the paradox of pain and the promise of God's goodness. So it's the honest cry of a hurting heart. And that's what you're going to find if you read the book of Lamentations, these five chapters. You're going to find that this is the honest cry of a hurting heart of the prophet Jeremiah as he was wrestling with this pain of or this paradox of pain and suffering among God's people, and along with the promise of God's goodness. He was wrestling with those two truths, with why is it, God, that we are going through this suffering time and pain? Why is Jerusalem destroyed when you promised to do good to your people? And, you know, lament, another person put it this way. They said it's admitting that we can't handle it, knowing that we need God's power and mercy and grace. You know, if we can't handle our sufferings, then, or let me just say this, if we could handle all of our sufferings, we wouldn't need Jesus. We wouldn't need the cross. We wouldn't need His power and His resurrection. But God has given us lament to help us to have hope in the midst of our suffering. And when you look at lament prayers in the Bible, what you're going to find is you're going to find four elements. You're going to find four steps in most lament prayers in the Psalms. And even you'll find these four principles in the book of Lamentations. The first thing that you find is that there's a turning to God. And that's a very important thing. When you suffer pain, whether it's grief, whether it's the consequence of your sin, or whether it's just you're just having a hard time going through a crisis in your life, it's very important that you turn to God in that pain. And that's what a prayer of lament is. And it's instead of stiff-arming God and saying, God, no, I'm good on my own, lament is turning to God in your pain. And so you'll find that that's the first thing. The second thing you'll find in lament is it's a complaint that's a humble complaint to God about the suffering, about the pain, about what is wrong And you'll find that in all lament prayers. And then the third step or element you're going to find in lament prayers is there's an asking or petitioning God to help in light of His promises. And so in all the lament prayers you're going to find is they pour out their heart and pain to God, as they turn to God and they complain about what's going on, you always will see an asking God to help or give grace during that time. And it's always based on His promises. And then the fourth step or element is trust. And this is the wonderful part of it, that it's a choice to trust God and to put confidence in God that He's going to bring us through and He's going to work out His purposes in our lives. And so basically what lament is, it teaches us as God's people to uncork our hearts and to pour out our hearts to God in faith. And so that's what lament is. And so as we look in chapter 3 of Lamentations, if you have a Bible, I would like you to turn there. And we're going to get there in just a moment. But I want to share a story about a pastor, what he shared about the verses that we read earlier. We read verses 22 or 21 through verse 26. And he said that he was attending a Christian conference, and he had noticed there was a picture on the wall. And in this picture was this beautiful English cottage, and it was surrounded by mountains, and there was a river running down alongside this beautiful cottage, and there was a little garden that surrounded the house. And it resembled one of those Thomas Kincaid paintings that you would see at a Christian bookstore. And what you would see in that picture, when you look at that picture, he said, would be a picture of peace and tranquility. And he said below that picture was the verses, Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, which read, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." Now, those are great verses, and many people would look at that picture and think those are fitting verses for that picture. But I want to tell you something. Those verses do not fit the picture that we find in Lamentations chapter 3. In Lamentations chapter 3, what we have is a scene of Jerusalem laying in ruins. What we see here is not a picture of peace and tranquility, but what we see is a war zone. We see a dark and tragic landscape. Jerusalem had just been destroyed by the Babylonian army. The Babylonians came in and took the Jews captive and took them back to Babylon. And in the process, they destroyed the entire city of Jerusalem, including the temple of God. And so as Jeremiah is writing Lamentation, he is lamenting over the destruction of Jerusalem. He is weeping. He is like, how, God, can this be? How can this city, the city of God, how can this city be destroyed? This is Your city, God, and how can Your house, the temple of God, where we would meet and worship, how could You allow that to be destroyed by our enemies? And so these verses are found right in the midst of this lamenting over the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. And you know, and as Jeremiah laments this destruction, he says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not." You know, this thought should really change how we read Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. You know, as you look at the book of Lamentations, I want to just kind of help you with this and help you to get a bigger picture of this whole book. Lamentations is 5 poems, and it's 5 chapters of 5 poems. The first 4 chapters are written as acrostics. And you'll find that chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 4 are each 22 verses each, corresponding to the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And so what you have is, for example, chapter 1, verse 1, that verse in the Hebrew Bible would begin with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And then verse 2 would begin with the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and so on, and all the way down to verse 22. Now, when you come to chapter 3, where we find our text, you'll find 66 verses. And what you find here is that each letter is used three times. It's like the first three verses would be the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and then it would follow on. And so what we find here is that Jeremiah wants us to see in this lamenting prayer in the book of Lamentation, he wants us to see God's discipline of his people from A to Z. He's taken the entire Hebrew alphabet and he's going from A to Z and expounding on the discipline of God, of God's people because of their sin. Another thing that's interesting about Lamentations is that the Hebrew title for this book is not Lamentations. The Hebrew title of this book is taken from the very first word in chapter 1, verse 1, and that word is how. You'll also see it in chapter 2, verse 1, how. And that is the Hebrew title of this book, how. It is an expression of shock and awe. And what this Hebrew title reflects is the struggle of God's people as they lamented over the destruction of Jerusalem. It was like this. How could this happen? How could God allow this? How can God's people endure this captivity and this destruction of our city? And I want to just say, how did all this happen? How did it happen? Well, Jeremiah, he tells us in chapter 1, he says that in verse 8, Jerusalem had grievously sinned. Therefore, she is removed. All that honored her despise her because they have seen her nakedness, yea, sigheth and turneth backwards. And so he points out in this Lamentations about the city in verse 1, sitting solitary. And it was full of people. When I read verse 1, I thought about many cities across our country, many cities that are on lockdown across the world. You look at these big teeming cities that usually are full of people. Now they're sitting solitary. They're empty. And that's what the city of Jerusalem was here. He said, how doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How is she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations, princess among the provinces. How is she become tributary? How she become a tributary now? How she become slave to another nation? Because she was once great. And he tells us in verse 8, it's because of their sins. Because they were, they turned away from God and they began to worship idols. And so, how did all this happen? Well, God's people were suffering the discipline of God because of their sins. Now, we need to remember as God's people today that God is long-suffering and God is merciful. But rebellion against God has consequences. You know, we can choose to sin. We can choose our sin, but we can't choose the consequences. And see, what happened to this people of God here in the Old Testament, they were suffering the consequences of their idolatry, of their turning away from God, their rebelling against God. And here's the good thing about it all, though. Here's the good thing. This discipline led Israel to brokenness before God. And to the confession of her sins. You see, God brought this discipline out of love. Like a father would discipline his children, he disciplines those whom he loves. He loved his people. And through this discipline, it brought them to a place of brokenness. It brought them to a place of confessing their sins. Because if you look in verse 18 in chapter 1, there's a confession here. It says, the Lord is righteous, for I have rebelled against his commandment. Hear, I pray you, all people, and behold my sorrow. My virgins and my young men are gone into captivity. And so here he's saying it's a turning to God. This is the turning to God right here. He's turning to the Lord and he's confessing a sin on behalf of the nation saying, we've rebelled, Lord, against you. And so what we have in Lamentations, it's a penitential lament psalm. It's a lamenting over sins before God. And I want to just say this. Sin is the real problem in all of our suffering. Let me say that again. Sin is the real problem in all of our suffering. Now, it may not be a specific sin. I don't want you to misunderstand. It may not be a specific sin in our lives, but it can be traced to the original sin committed by Adam in the Garden of Eden, because we are suffering consequences of that sin. When Adam sinned in the garden, there was a curse that God pronounced upon the whole creation. And sin, because of sin, death came into the world. We have diseases and we have all kinds of suffering today, all because of sin, the original sin. And so I want you to think about that. Sin is the real problem of all of our suffering. It may not be a specific sin that you have committed against God, but we are suffering today as a consequence of living in a sin-cursed world. You know, Paul, in Romans chapter 8, he said, "For we know," in verse 22, "for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." You know, in this context, he's talking about because of sin, the curse came upon the whole creation, and the whole creation is groaning in pain, groaning, travailing. Not just people, but creation itself is groaning. And he says in verse 23, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies." So he's saying that God's people, we groan in our bodies today because of sin, and we're waiting for that day when Jesus comes and redeems our bodies, gives us a glorified body. And so Jeremiah here, he's very clear in what he's saying, that in Lamentations, that all of our suffering can be traced back to the original sin in Genesis chapter 3. And let's go back to chapter 3 now and Lamentations. And these first 20 verses, we're not going to read because of time, but I want you to take the time today, if you would. I want you to read those first 20 verses because I want you to understand what's going on before these verses that we read earlier as part of our scripture reading. In these first 20 verses, what we have here is a hurting soul crying out to God. A hurting soul crying out to God in lament. In verse 1, for example, he says, "I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath." And then I want you to notice in verse 17, he says, "And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace." He's praying to God. He's saying, "God, in this lament prayer, God, you've removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord." What is Jeremiah saying here? He's saying that his soul had no peace. He's saying that he had suffered for so long that he forgot what it was like to know prosperity or good times. He forgot what good times were like. He's saying that his strength and his hope were gone. He said, they're just gone. This is a man who is despairing of life. A man that is pouring out to God his pain and his disappointment. This is a man lamenting. A man lamenting over his affliction, over his suffering because of sin. But I want you to notice the dramatic change that takes place in verse 21. In verse 21, this is where the change takes place. "This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope." I want you to notice something. Jeremiah, at this point in the lament prayer, Jeremiah recalls to mind what he knows is true about God. And this is why biblical lament is transformative. It's transforming. It will change you. When you're in your despair, despairing of life, and you're suffering, and you've lost your hope that things are going to get better, you need to pour your heart out to God. You need to turn to God. You need to pray to God and ask God for His grace and His help. And listen, if it's a true biblical lament prayer like this is, it will be transformative. It will change you. Why is that? Because a lament prayer not only gives voice to the pain that you feel, but it anchors your heart to the truths that you believe. I want to say that again. This is why biblical lament is so transforming, because it not only gives voice to the pain that you feel in your heart, but it anchors your heart to the truths that you believe and that you know are true. You know, I want you to think about how the biblical lament prayers move us from how. God, how can you allow this to happen? God, how can you allow COVID-19 to come all across this country? God, how can you allow some people, our family members that we know, to be sick with this virus? How can you allow people to die from this? Lord, how can you do this? When we begin to lament over this, a true lament prayer moves us from how and why to hope. To hope. How do we get from our pain? How do we get from how? How do we get from why, Lord? Why did you allow this? How did you allow this to happen? How do we get from there to hope? Well, I want you to notice it's when we remember who God is. It's when we remember who God is. Because that's what took place. Jeremiah here in verse 21, he says, this I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. He recalled to mind. He began to remember some things about who God is. And he said in the next verse, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. So he talks about the Lord. He is merciful. And then he says in verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God's mercies are new every morning. And he said, God is not only merciful, God is faithful. And then he said, God's compassions, they never fail. They never stop. And if you were to read on, it says in verse 25, the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. So the Lord is good. So Jeremiah began to remember and to recall to mind who God is. That God is merciful. God is faithful. God is good. God is compassionate. And His compassions never fail. And so when we're lamenting in prayer, whether it's lamenting over our sins, or lamenting over our tragedy or our trauma or whatever it is, we need to remember who God is. We need to recall to mind who God is. And not only who God is, but we need to remember what God has done. You know, in these verses, he remembers some things that God had done. You know, in verse 26, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. You know, you think about this, God has saved us. If you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're saved. You can look back and you see how God saved you out of sin, how God forgave you, how God gave you new life. And you know, he says in verse 24, the Lord is my portion, said my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. This word portion means inheritance. What he's saying is that Jesus belongs to me. And I belong to Him. He is my portion because of redemption, because He saved me, because He's my Savior. He has made me His inheritance and He is mine and I am His. You know, as we think about that truth, what God has done, we can look back and we can see many, many other things that God has done for us. And we can say with Jeremiah, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, what Lamentations shows us is that hope does not come from a change of circumstances. You know, our circumstances can change overnight, but that will not give us hope. Rather, our hope comes from what you know to be true about God despite the situation in front of you. So I want you to think about that. It's not a change of our circumstances that's going to give us hope, but it's what we know to be true about God despite the situation in front of us. Lament is a prayer of faith despite our fears. And we as God's people, as we go through suffering, we are able to live through that time. We're able to endure through suffering because of what we believe and know to be true from the Bible, rather than what we feel and what we see. See, our emotions and our circumstances may be saying to us, it's hopeless. We may be on Facebook looking at all the news and saying, it's just hopeless. And you know, that may be true if we are hoping and trusting in our circumstances. Or if we are hoping and trusting in ourselves. Or if we are hoping and trusting in our government. It may be hopeless. But like Jeremiah, we need to hope in the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord. The Lord is good to them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. You know, this one thought I want to close with. And this is a beautiful thought. Someone said, lament is the song that we sing as Christians while we are living in this world that is under the curse of sin. I want you to think about this. There will be no lament in the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is the city of God that we know as heaven. That Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And John writes about it in Revelation 21. He tells us about that place that Jesus had gone to prepare for us. And here's an amazing thing. Here's a stunning promise in Revelation 21:4. He says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. See, there's going to be no lamenting in heaven. Lament is a song we sing while we're living here in this world. When Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. But He said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. We don't have to get down and depressed. We can hope in the Lord. We can trust in the Lord as God's people. And here's what Lamentations teaches us about Jesus. Lamentations reminds us that we need Jesus to come and make everything right. We need Jesus to come and make everything right. And folks, I guarantee you, His time is getting nearer and nearer for His coming. And if you're here today and you have never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you do not know, if you were to die today of the COVID-19 virus, that you would go to heaven, I want to encourage you to think about that right now, because there's a virus far greater than this COVID-19 virus, the virus of sin. And the Bible teaches we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the good news is, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ came into this world to die for our sins, to be our Savior. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He's alive. He's a living Savior. And He's, after His resurrection, He ascended back to heaven. He's seated on the right hand of the Father. And the Bible tells us that He's able to save all that come to God by Him. It was Jesus Himself that said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me. It was Jesus that said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, He says, come unto Me, and I'll give you rest. So as you think about the sufferings of this life, you think about the despair and the hopelessness we see all around us. Listen, Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling you to come to Him. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He can give you a living hope because He died for your sin. He took care of the root problem that we have today. Of all the suffering we see, the root problem was the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the vaccine that you need today to overcome death and to have eternal life, is to have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to you by faith. And the way you do that is you believe with your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that He was buried, He rose again, and you call upon Him. You call upon His name for salvation. The Bible promises that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you have to believe Him in your heart. You have to trust Him. You have to put all your trust in Jesus. It's not a church that will save you. It's not yourself that can save you. But it's Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. And I want to encourage you that if you want to know more about how you can trust Christ and know for sure you have eternal life, would you please email me at the email you see on this page. Please send me an email. I'll be glad to send you some Bible studies to be able to help you know more about eternal life and how you can be saved. And please contact me. If you were blessed today, if maybe God spoke to your heart today about this lament and you want to even know more about it, you can email me. Comment on our page and let us know that the Lord spoke to your heart and you made a decision today for His honor and for His glory. I want you to bow with me. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so grateful for Your Word. So grateful, Lord, that You've given us the prayer of lament as a means of healing grace to our souls. As we go through suffering, as we go through trauma, as we go through great loss, Lord, as we hurt deep inside our souls, Lord, help us not to be bitter against You. Help us not to stiff arm You. Lord, as we go through these trials, help us not to question or doubt Your goodness and Your love for us. But Lord, help us to turn to You in our pain, to pour out our hearts to You, to seek Your help and Your grace. And Lord, help us to remember, to recall to mind who You are and what You've done for us. Like Jeremiah, Lord, he was in great pain. Lord, as he looked out across Jerusalem and saw the destruction, he saw the temple was destroyed, the city was destroyed, the people were taken captives. The city sat solitary. It was an empty, dark place. They'd been burned to the ground. Lord, as he lamented over that, Lord, he turned his eyes to You. And Lord, You restored that hope and that confidence in him that, Lord, that You were going to do everything that You promised to do. And that we can rest in You, we can trust in You, we can wait for Your salvation, Your deliverance. And Lord, whatever it is that those that are listening today are struggling with, Lord, I pray at this time they will turn to You, that they would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a great high priest, who was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He can feel our hurt. He knows our pain. And we can come to Him with our hurts and burdens and get comfort and strength and grace to help us in time of need. Lord, thank You so much for who You are. Thank You, Lord, that You are merciful. Thank You, Lord, that You are a faithful God. Thank You, Lord, that Your compassions, they fail not. You are full of compassion today for those that are hurting and suffering. Lord, we love You. We thank You so much for Your word today. Pray in Jesus' name.